Welcome to the Practical Defense Quick Tip of the Week. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. Quick tips are small things, little habits, which will hopefully help keep you a little safer. This week we're going high tech. We're going to take a look at the passwords you use to protect your online accounts. We'll also cover briefly some account names. I'm pulling this quick tip from an identity theft prevention lecture that I give a couple times a year. It's hard to overstate the value of good passwords. Passwords are one of the keys that unlock the doors to our entire lives. Now, two things protect every account you have online: your account name and your password. If you have those two things, you can do pretty much anything that you want. If you have one, sometimes you can get the other. By now, everyone should know the basics of good passwords. You know, your password needs to be over 8 characters long. It should not contain any words found in the dictionary. It should not be the name of your children, your pets, your spouse, or a series of numbers like birthdays or anniversaries. Your password should contain both letters and numbers, and some of those letters should be uppercase as well as lowercase. And if the system supports it, your password should also contain special characters like the pound sign, the at symbol, ampersand, underscore, and so on and so forth. Now again, we all know these things. It's part of one of those things that we should all do, but sometimes don't, like obeying the speed limit. And since we all know these things, I'm not going to spend any time trying to convince you of their necessity. I'd just be wasting my breath and your time. What I am going to do is convince you to change your passwords and even your account names. So let's assume that we all have secure passwords and good account names. You don't share your account information with anyone, not even your spouse. It is secured and locked in your head and your head alone. Or is it? Well, the truth is that your account names and passwords are not only in your head. They are part of every system you hold an account with. You may control what's in your head, but you cannot control what is in the database of a company that you do business with. I'm talking about every online retailer in the entire world, your federal government, and any service provider that you have an online account with. Now, in previous episodes, I've covered how vulnerable your information is. I mean, I've had my personal information compromised by retailers, banks, and my own government. As a result, I have three identity theft prevention companies keeping tabs on my status. So what does all this have to do with account names and passwords? Your usernames and passwords are part of your account information that can be compromised. So what do you say? So they have the username and password to my Cabela's account. What are they going to do? Order hiking boots? Nope. They're going to try your username and password on your bank account. Now, this is generally a point in the lecture where the audience gets really quiet and I see a few faces go white as that kind of sinks in. And that is my point. Most people use the same username and password for all of their accounts. It may be a great, impossible to figure out password, but once these criminal hackers get in, they don't have to figure that out. And who changes their usernames? No one protects those, and often it's just your email address anyway, and you give that out freely. So just to recap, what two bits of information are required to unlock everything you have online? Your username, which you give out, and your password, which is something that they just stole by hacking a major system that you have no control over. So once they have the information, the hackers then start trying to use your username and password on every major online bank in the world. They also use it on Twitter and Gmail and Facebook and any other type of system like that. And then they use your account to send worms, viruses, and Trojan horses to everyone in your address book. And then your friends get these surveillance bugs installed in their computers, and every password they type into their computers also gets logged and sent to the hackers as well. So now you can see how these worm networks make billions of dollars a year. You can see how identity theft can be profitable and why organized crime and even rogue nations use them to make money. So, how do you protect yourself? You use different account names and different passwords on every system. That way, if one is compromised, the rest remain secured against that particular type of attack. Okay, I can hear you saying, but how am I supposed to keep track of 50 different usernames and 50 different crazy unique passwords? Well, there are a couple of ways of doing it. You know, first is the old-fashioned method, pen and paper, and this is how I started out doing it. Just make a list and keep that list safe and secure. I also recommend making a copy and keeping it in your safe. You do have a safe, don't you? Another good way is to use a password manager application. Now, these are secure applications that store all of your username and passwords. Often, they even have a secured password generator built in. So when you connect to a website, you just click a button and the username and password are automatically filled in. You don't have to remember a thing. It's done for you automatically. Well, I take that back. What you do have to do is remember one main password to unlock the application. All of your data is stored, encrypted, on your local computer. Most apps will even automatically back up the secured file to avoid loss due to data corruption. So once again, you are back to remembering one secure password. However, you maintain highly secure and unique usernames and passwords for every online account that you have. The result is that if one's compromised, you don't lose all of your other accounts as well. The application that I use on my Mac is called 1Password, and I love it. There are similar applications on the PC, such as RoboForm by CyberSystems. I'll include links to these in the show notes. I'll also include a link to the password generator page of one of my personal heroes, Steve Gibson of Gibson Research. I used his tool to generate my 63-character randomly generated password for my home wireless network. Steve also hosts an amazing tech podcast with Leo Laporte called Security Now. If you want to get your geek on, that is the show to listen to. So in the end, change those passwords. Make them all unique and secure. There is always a trade-off between security and ease of use. The easier something is, the less secure it is. Conversely, the more secure, the more of a pain in the butt it's going to be to use. What you have to decide for yourself is how secure you want to be. With my experiences, I will give up a lot of ease of use for added security. I don't see it as a nuisance, I see it as a benefit. I've just experienced too many security failures that were completely outside of my control. And that'll do it for this week. It's kind of a long, quick tip, but I think you guys might enjoy it. If you have any quick tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Tom Gilmore lives on a farm. There's a storm on the way, so he's boarding up the windows of his house.
Haley Williams lives in an apartment. It's a beautiful day. She's making her usual monthly donation to the American Red Cross.
Tom doesn't know a tornado will leave his family with no place to go.
Haley doesn't know her gift will help give Tom's family shelter.
When you support the Red Cross, you change a life.
Starting with your own.
Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn about life-changing opportunities in your area.
Practical Offense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexaddix.com. That's podcast@alexaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexaddix.com.